Let's begin.
This is the boss.
I'm the boss.
And the gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gal and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine.
Okay, hour number two underway, and I want to jump to two quick human resource questions. Don't worry, not a Me Too
movement.
Boss
is going to ask me a human resource question? Yes. I'll take it.
I'm going to need Jose's help for this,
Role
too.
Reversal.
Okay?
Oh, boy.
There's an opening on Monday Night Football. As you may have heard, Jason Witten has returned to the field.
I'm busy on Monday nights.
Well, so I was going to offer Jose three choices. Peyton Manning could take Jason Witten's place, Kurt Warner, or our Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson, the gloss herself, in the booth. But no, you're committed to us, right?
I'm committed to you.
There's no price, Carla.
That's right.
It's a question. Is there not a price?
Well, my boss is looking at me at the left, and you're looking at me at the right.
I will match whatever they pay her.
Somehow, I don't think America's ready for me.
Maybe not.
I'm gonna give it up to Peyton.
That was my first HR question. I guess we'll go to Peyton Manning on that one. The second is, do you realize how much these top NCAA basketball coaches are making?
Yeah, we're in the wrong business.
John Calipari, I mean, he is making
$2 million
annually. That's a good number. No one on our payroll here at SB Nation Radio makes that kind of money.
Yet.
Yet.
I'm holding out hope. How about you, Jose?
Keep hope alive. Jose just
He's taking the
eyebrow.
Fifth.
He doesn't see it in his future.
I plead the fifth.
There's a coach at Duke, Mike Krzyzewski. He is making $7 million, and then there's a big drop off. Tom Izzo, $4 million.
But these guys
are making good money annually, and they deserve it. These are the best coaches out there, and they're making a lot of money for their programs.
Yeah, well, the four that you just mentioned, they own 2 number 1 seeds and 2 number 2 seeds, so they're going to cost you.
Right, you got to pay for the price. You got to pay to play well, huh?
Crazy town.
We're going to have Pat Kennedy. He's a former NCAA coach, and he is currently a senior advisor for the Hoop Group and associated with
Beast.
Yes. So we're going to hear Pat Kennedy when we return. We'll ask him about the brackets, the unfolding March Madness. Pat Kennedy when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gal and Carla Dawson.
Joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Pat Kennedy, former NCAA coach, and now with Beat the Beast Recruiting. Pat Kennedy, thank you for joining. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, David and Carla, great being with you guys.
We were on together about a year ago, about this time, and I think you pretty much nailed what was going to unfold.
You really did.
He knew what was going down. Well, let's first look at yesterday. Do you feel like the selection committee did a good job?
Yeah, I did, guys. I thought probably the only school that really had a little bit of a beef maybe was NC State. But that was just, barely a beef. As you guys know, in years past, we'd have 3 or 4 teams that normally had a beef, and you'd have the Dick Vitales of the world ranting and raving, as Dick often did, about who should or shouldn't have been in. But it says something about the new formula, because, again, I mean, just think about it, just across the board listening to ESPN and SB Nation across the country, there's not a lot of complaining. So I think we have a very good field. We have a tremendous amount of great matchups, and I kind of thought the mid-majors who deserved to get in there, like a Belmont, God bless them for being there, and I think it's going to make the tournament exciting.
I agree, Pat. I think they nailed the mid-majors. I thought that was great. And, of course, Dick Vitale, who you mentioned, had huge complaints about Michigan State being a number two seed. How do you feel about that and being in Duke's region in the East?
Yeah, well, you know, I said this about 2 weeks ago that, you know, you got to use the eyeball test. Michigan State with some injuries that they had to work their way through, playing well, but kind of, you know, winning games they normally win, but not by dominating, kind of struggling their way through there a little bit. But again, a classic great Tom Izzo coaching job and Tom Izzo team. But I don't think there was any question about it. And I don't know who Dick thinks that they should have replaced. But I saw it coming when I watched Carolina starting to really play well.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe White, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the country. And you had Duke. You knew when Zion Williamson came back how good they were going to be. And basically, you can't argue against Virginia and Gonzaga. So I understand Dick's, and Dick's always going to try to be controversial. But which team would you take out of there and put Michigan State in? Now, Michigan State has a little bit of beef, I think, being in the same bracket with Duke.
Right.
But then again, I mean, but again, if you go across the board, I mean, the Final Eight could be incredible. Mm-hmm. Because of the potential, you know, you could have Kentucky and Carolina, you know, playing in the Final Eight game. Are you kidding me? So, I mean, the Final Eight matchups look like they could be sensational if the chalk gets to that point. But, you know, that's a little key. And I don't think Tom Izzo was worried about being a two seed. I think he was just a little bit worried about being in the same bracket with the number one seed, which is Duke.
We're talking to former NCAA coach Pat Kennedy, senior advisor for Hoop Group. So, Pat, I'd love to ask you about Duke. Zion Williamson, whom does he remind you of on the court? And then I'd love a second question is, who's the best player in this tournament not named Zion Williamson?
Well, first of all, I kind of agree with Jim Boeheim. I don't know if he really reminds you of almost anybody. He's just... you know, he's to me, he's like a combination. Let me give you three guys. Let me give you Karl Malone. Let me give you Michael Jordan, and obviously LeBron James. I mean,
whoa, that's some good company.
That's good company.
Yeah, right. So take those three guys and pull them all together. And I say that group for a specific reason: the strength of Karl Malone, the defensive wizardry of obviously Michael Jordan, and the offensive dominance of LeBron James. So, I mean, this youngster is very special. He's very exceptional. We all heard about him. We all watched him coming up as a high school prospect. I don't think we realize that the size and the explosiveness and the ability to do the things he can do were going to come to fruition. And you just see him more and more. So, you know, they're coming from the weak side to block a shot. He's got to move his head so he doesn't hit a rim. He can put his hands up on the corners of the backboards. I mean, the kid's phenomenal. We've not really seen anyone like him. We will. I mean, there'll be other ones. But right now, he's very, very exceptional.
Okay, who's...
Outside of him, I mean, there's an awful lot of youngsters that obviously have had great years. The great forward out of Tennessee, Williams, has had a great year. You know, you've got some guys that, for me, is even some of the lower seeds. Kid Pascal from Villanova, I mean... So there's a lot of exceptional players in the tournament, but there's only one Zion Williamson, that's for sure.
So, Coach, is it possible to neutralize Zion? And if so, how would you coach your team to do that?
Well, you know, I've heard some defensive schemes, and that's exactly what it's going to take. It's going to take a defensive scheme where you try to keep him from penetrating into the paint. And quite honestly, it's you know, it's like putting in football, putting all those guys in the box. You'd almost have to try. Now, this might sound extreme. Now, this is going to sound crazy. When I was at Florida State, Timmy Duncan was at Wake Forest. And Timmy was shooting about 50% from the foul line. And the last game Timmy Duncan played in the ACC that he lost was at Florida State. And we told our kids, foul him every time he gets the ball. Now, the kids looked at us like I was nuts. And I said, no, I'm being very honest. Whenever he gets the ball, just foul him. Don't let him get the ball above his waist, and let's make him go to the foul line. And he went 2 for 17 from the foul line. You can look it up, and we beat them. So my thing would be, if I was coaching against him in a one-game season, a la Raleigh Massimino, Jimmy Valvano, some of the great coaches, I would try to take a charge on him every time he gets the ball.
Hmm.
Every single time he gets the ball, I would not allow him to get to the rim and get his dunks and get his putbacks. I'd foul him. And again, that might sound extreme, but if some coaches are listening, they're probably going to say, you know what? That makes all the sense in the world. Just continually try to take an offensive foul against a kid.
We're talking to Coach Pat Kennedy. He's a senior advisor for the Hoop Group. So down here in Houston, there's a perception that the Cougars aren't getting the national respect that they deserve, that maybe people forget that we were just a buzzer-beater shy of making it to the Sweet 16 last year. How far can the Cougars get in this tournament?
Absolutely to the Final Four. Let me just say this, too. Remember, that was against the Michigan team that was relieved that they got by Houston. I mean, if you remember...
Jordan Poole.
How they certainly celebrated. Now, let me say something about their conference, the American Conference. Some of those top-side teams like Cincinnati are extremely, extremely well-coached, well-versed teams. So losing to Cincinnati was by no means any type of a disgrace or a setback. Kelvin Sampson has got to be in the running for the National Coach of the Year. Davis didn't shoot the ball well yesterday. When they're shooting the ball well from the perimeter with the guys that they have that can shoot it, which they will when they get the NCAA tournament, Houston is going to be a tough out for anybody. That's what you look for when they say who's a tough out. When you look at the Houston team, toughness, defense, gritty, can shoot it, can score it, can tough transition. Houston's going to be a tough out. And I would not, people keep saying it, but then they back away. I wouldn't be surprised if Houston's in the Final Four team.
Okay, I love hearing that. And yesterday, you mentioned Davis had such an off game, and turns out that he has a hip strain. Do you think there's any credence to the fact that maybe it's good for a team that Kelvin Sampson's team is 31-3 team? They lost yesterday pretty badly to Cincinnati in the conference finals. Is it maybe good for them to have a bad loss at this point? Going into the tournament, knowing that this is the team they can beat. What do you think about that?
Well, it's actually a great point. And of course, coaches, when I was coaching, you would always say, well, no loss is a good loss. But that's just media talk. The fact of the matter is that sometimes it wakes your kids up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it gives you as a coach a chance to get their attention again. They've had that extraordinary record. You win 30-plus games in college basketball. My gosh, you've had an incredible year. When I was in Florida State, we lost to Clemson in the first round of the ACC tournament. And I was so upset I wanted to hang myself. And I'll never forget Bobby Kremer said, Coach, go home, relax, get your guys a little rest, get them fired up again and get ready to go. And we lost to Kentucky in the Final Eight for a trip to the Final Four.
Mm.
So there are some times when a loss can be a positive. Houston doesn't have to prove that they can win games anymore. But getting home, getting a little rest, Kelvin's a master motivator. And you've seen him. The kids love him. Senior night, kids had tears in their eyes. Kelvin had tears in his eyes. But believe me, he gets in their fannies when they need to. And he's going to have a very, very good few days of practice here.
All right, that's the great Pat Kennedy. Pat, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
All right, guys, great being with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, don't take a chance of being stranded, Carla.
Okay, you're lecturing me again.
Don't take a chance.
But I appreciate it.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge and one of many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You got that?
Got it.
Hey, did you work out this weekend?
I did. Do I look svelte today?
Well, you look like you've had a good workout.
Thank you. I don't smell and I'm not sweaty.
Well, what did you do?
Let's be clear about that.
For your workout.
I did my hip-hop class.
Hip-hop class? Really?
Yes. It's a fact.
That's a hard-working class.
One solid hour, nonstop hip-hop. We don't break. Music keeps going. Carla keeps going.
Really? What do you wear when
and
you do
your bride has done it with me several times. And
really?
She's good.
I bet.
Good in the hood.
Now, let me ask you, do you ever get sore after class?
Do I have to admit that?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of sore today.
Really?
Yeah, my back's a little sore.
You know what you need?
Blue Emu.
Yes.
Yes,
you
I
need
do.
Some Blue Emu. Because Blue Emu is what you would rub on your soreness, and it will make it go away. There's no chill, no burn, no odor. It's the number one selling Emu oil brand in America, and it's made in America. You got it?
I got it, and I love that it doesn't smell because I don't want it to mess with the perfume. Then people will be like, ooh, she's old. She's smelling old. Blue Emu does not smell. I'm all about it.
And neither do you.
I
know. You heard it from the gloss.
How about that?
Buy your Blue Emu today.
And you can hip-hop till you drop.
There we go. All right. It is an interesting time. Here's a man who needs some Blue Emu, LeBron James. Am I right? I mean, LeBron needs something, maybe some deep penetrating cream to help himself out.
He needs a lot more than Blue Emu,
He's
but that's
sitting
a start.
At the end of the bench. He's got people calling him out. Times are not good in L.A.
No, but you know what? I know that he is known as the panacea.
Yes.
I don't think so any longer. He's got to take some culpability for what's going on in L.A.
Right.
And I think that things that have been being said about him. Now, you know, it's not all on him. But here's what the tough thing is. When this is what franchises, players, coaches, front offices need to know when you bring in LeBron James. Is that when things are going well, like they did with the Cavs, they won a championship there. He's going to get all the credit.
Right. And when things, He got a lot of credit.
And he did a lot. But one man, a championship does not make. But when things are going bad, it's not on LeBron.
Right.
Let me give you some examples.
Okay.
David Blatt, out of a job in Cleveland.
Yep.
Ty Lue, out of a job in Cleveland. Mark my words, Luke Walton, the minute they signed LeBron on that dotted line, if they weren't going to the playoffs, Luke's going. So I think he's going to have a tough time keeping his job. The credit goes to him, but when things go wrong, it doesn't go to
him. And you hear from Kyrie Irving, that is sort of an explanation for why he went out of Cleveland. All the credit was going to LeBron, and Kyrie wanted to carve his own place in the league.
And I think it's, you know, it's a notice to people who are thinking of coming to the Lakers, wanting to sign with them, is just, hey, great. You can probably win with him, but just know that the credit is not going to go to you. And, oh, yeah, he also doesn't even want to sit next to you.
Yep.
And he doesn't want to listen to Luke Walton.
Yep.
So, and he did this notion, you know, last night they lost by one to the lowly, terrible Tryon for Zion New York Knicks. Like, I don't know. When I thought the Phoenix Suns loss last week was the bottom of the barrel for the Lakers. But
right.
No, they've managed to top that and lost to the Knicks last night. And the big scuttlebutt was that, you know, LeBron sat away from his teammates in the first quarter, you know. And Walt Frazier got on him, the, you know, great New York Knicks. And I agree with him. And everybody today is saying, hey, that was uncalled for. He does care. You don't know what goes on behind the locker room. You know what? You're right. Nobody knows what goes on behind that locker room. So the optics of what he's doing on the front line, we do know what goes on in the bench. That's where he sits. And as the face of the NBA, which LeBron is, self-proclaimed, and the way he conducts himself, you can't do that as the face of the NBA and not expect to get criticized. Is that what we want superstars doing? Is not listening to the coach, sitting away from the team, being disengaged? And you know, I was hot on that when he did it in the finals last year.
I remember you were highlighting
Golden
it all.
State.
Yes, of course, right?
And, you know, it's not a good optic. So if he afterwards is going out to dinner with his teammates and treating them to a nice meal and everything's great in the locker room, that's awesome. But that's not what the fans see, and that's not the optics. And I think he is a great guy as far as he's out of all scuttlebutts, really. You know, there's no off-court stuff. But his on-court stuff, it's ugly.
Right.
I don't like it. Do you?
No, and I think the Lakers are a debacle right now. They're going to have to really restart. And so we'll see how that shakes out. He has promised that he will deliver or bring in a max free agent. They need at least one, and then they need some of these other parts to grow up and heal. So it's going to be a long road back for them. Speaking of optics, a team that does look optically better now and looks poised to make some noise here in the Western Conference are the Houston Rockets. I mean, when James Harden are on the court, when they're playing their games, when they're healthy, and, well, I don't want to leave out Capella because he's been a key cog to all this, but they look like a team who could challenge the Warriors.
Definitely they do. I've seen them play twice this past week. I saw them against Golden State, lost a close one. Well, it wasn't close. It became close. And then saw them last night against the Timberwolves. The interesting thing with the Rockets, so there's 13, 14 games left in the season.
Yep.
They're gelling. They're coming together. But here's the deal. They're still not there. And that's okay. I mean, you don't want to be peaking right now. The postseason is long. But they still will have a really bad quarter, or it takes them a couple quarters to kind of gear up. It wasn't until last night against the Timberwolves. It was back and forth lead changes, mostly the Rockets trying to catch them, until Chris Paul went on a tear and just took off in the third quarter, scoring easily in the paint and hitting some really key three-pointers. So I think if I'm Mike D'Antoni, I really want to eliminate having to make up for a really tough quarter.
Well, you go back to that loss against the Warriors. I mean, that was a tough loss. I mean, Kevin Durant was not playing.
No, he wasn't.
And you could see what DeMarcus Cousins can do when the Warriors get him in a groove. That's a tough loss. You could say, well, my gosh, that was at home for the Rockets. They had all their pieces. The Warriors didn't have theirs. But I still think those two teams are the best in the West, and I think that if anyone is going to push the Warriors, it will be the Rockets.
But then you got Denver that's lingering right there.
I know.
I'm not a believer yet. A game behind the Warriors, and the Warriors are, you know, behind the Spurs right now, so they could be a tie. I know. I'm not a believer yet in Denver, because what people need to remember, what I try and remind myself as well, is that in the NBA, this season is long, and that postseason is so long. And it's a different animal when you shift to the postseason.
Yep.
And what the Golden State Warriors have going for them is that they know how to win. They learned that in 2015. And in 2016, they learned how to lose. They lost that Game 7 to Cleveland after being up 3-1. And you know what? There is some value in that. I mean, you don't ever want to lose. My gosh, you don't hope for that. But in the postseason, you have to know how to lose and how to recover from that. And I think when you're looking at Game 7 last year in Houston against the Golden State Warriors, and all of a sudden Houston's 17-point lead just dissipates and the Warriors are on their tails, that's when they start tightening up and they miss seven. The Rockets miss 17 straight consecutive threes because they have not learned how to win in the postseason.
Right. I mean, same question with Toronto in the Eastern Conference.
Right, and Denver.
A team that's always
had
a great regular season and falters in the playoffs.
But Boston knows how to win.
Boston knows how to win. It's a different team this year. I mean, it was interesting. It looked like they discovered how to win last year with a lot of young guys. Guys like Rozier and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They were really growing into their team, and the young guys led them to wins. It really wasn't Kyrie Irving or Gordon Hayward, who were not on the court. Now they're a different team, different chemistry. I do believe if I were picking a team in the East right now, I guess I'd still put my money on the Celtics figuring it out. They have played better of late. They do have the most talent, I think, top to bottom on their rosters. And their bench, when you can bring Jaylen Brown off the bench, which they have and will probably, and Gordon Hayward off the bench, you've got lots of options to really build a deep team. I know rosters shorten in the rotation, shorten in the postseason, but when I look at what Kyrie Irving has done in the playoffs and his history, he certainly knows how to win. I think, Celtics are still the favorite in the East now.
I agree with you, and I think the Celtics in the East and the Rockets in the West are in a similar position where they're starting to gel at a great time of the season at this last little stretch. You don't want to be peaking now.
All right, when we return, it will be the He Said, She Said segment.
Already?
Already. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, this is the moment we've been waiting for, our He Said, She Said segment, where we look at what sports luminaries have said across the landscape this
past week.
Been
a lot of chatter this week.
A lot of chatter. So we get to revisit it and comment on it. And let's start with the Lakers. In fact, we alluded to this last segment. The Lakers continue to be the talk of the league for all the wrong reasons. And this time it was Clyde Frazier, who went after LeBron for sitting at the end of the bench. LeBron was sitting at the end of the bench all by himself during the game. Let's hear what Clyde Frazier had to say.
This type of behavior is not, when you're the face of the NBA, I think you should be more a part of your team, folks. No matter what is going on the public, you got to be a part of the team. Maybe in the locker room, you're not, but you have to exude that type of togetherness in public, folks. And right now, we see he doesn't really care.
I mean, everyone's all over Clyde Frazier for saying that LeBron doesn't really care.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it looks like. Did anyone else watch that last night?
Right.
Or yesterday afternoon? It looks like he doesn't care.
Right.
If he really does care, which apparently he does, because like I mentioned in the earlier segment, he took his teammates out to dinner and the locker room is supposedly good and sunny. Show us.
Right.
How is the public and the fans, these paying fans, supposed to see this? It looks like he doesn't care.
It looks like a guy who is obviously an extraordinary player, maybe the greatest of all time, who is playing out the string on a team that's going nowhere. And that's not great optics, as you've noted. It's also just not the grand plan. I mean, LeBron is always going to the conference finals or the finals themselves. He has this incredible run going to the finals from the East. He's here at the West. It's not gone well. He just needs this year to end. He needs a restart.
Well, and that's what his body language
that's
is saying.
What he's showing.
I'm not part of this garbage. Right. I'm not part of losing to the Knicks. When he had a 4-for-15 fourth quarter, he's part of it.
Well, for what it's worth, LeBron did give a peek into the future of the Lakers, saying that that the Lakers can improve themselves in free agency this offseason. Let's listen to LeBron himself.
Listen, at the end of the day, this franchise wants to win and wants to win big. And the one thing about it, the franchise, they cater to the players, and that's it. You know, and everything else comes secondary. You know, they only want us to go out and perform at a high level. So, you know, like I said, it's a lot of great free agents in this summer. I'm not going to name any names because every time I say something, our organization says something about a specific person, we get in trouble. But we have an opportunity to get better.
He does sound confident.
He never has a problem with that.
No.
And he's right. I mean, this is a win. The Lakers franchise is storied. Showtime. I mean,
it's been a long time, though.
It's been a long time. And they've missed the playoffs.
I think 6-7 years
yes.
now.
Yes.
That's a long time to miss the playoffs in the NBA when basically half the teams make the playoffs.
Right.
So.
And he's in the Western Conference, which is tough. But, you know, this is what I would say. I mean, I'm sure LeBron, he's very well respected. He's the best player in the NBA, bar none, honestly. But buyer beware, if you come to L.A., you've got to be your second fiddle to LeBron. Unless you mess things up, then you get the blame.
Well,
that's the tricky part.
At some point, his game will not be what it has been. I don't know if we could say that about this season, but he is 34 years old. He did have an injury that kept him out for about 6 weeks earlier this year.
Which is unusual.
It's unusual. So at some point, you might be joining a LeBron on the tail end of a career. I mean, it is interesting. The other thing he said was, okay, the Lakers want to win, and they want to win big, of course. I think most of the great teams want that. Then he says, and this is a team that caters to its players.
I noticed the same thing.
Which is something the Lakers are certainly catering to LeBron James. They may not be catering to all players. Certainly the players they were talking about casting out to trade for Anthony Davis. I don't know.
Getting rid of the entire starting lineup to bring in Anthony Davis? Yeah.
Whom are they catering to? They're certainly catering to the star players. There's a star system there in L.A. especially.
Sure.
All right, let's go to the next one. This is one of our favorites. Yeah, Jeff Van Gundy. And in the world of the NBA, there's long been a notion that you need to rest players for the postseason. And Jeff Van Gundy addresses what he calls load management.
If I'm Adam Silver, there's real injuries, but we got an epidemic going on right now. Load management is a load of something else that I can't say. I'm tired of this sort of scientific term to just absolutely rest. So, if I'm Adam Silver, I am banning any media person from covering the sport if they use that in an article, and I'm not allowing NBA teams to put out a clock like load management. You have to substitute chillin' for load management. Just write on the thing, chillin'. Not working today, but expect my money.
Chef Van Gundy just say chillin'.
Chillin'.
Okay, amen, JVG. Because, you know, it's a problem in the NBA.
Yes, it is.
And what the longer version, I saw it live the other night, is Jeff Van Gundy was saying, hey, these fans are paying big-time dollars. I mean, it's expensive to go to an NBA game now. Yep. Even if you're sitting, you know, up in the rafters. They're paying big money, and they don't want to come out and to the Lakers and have LeBron not playing. You don't want to have just because he's resting or something like this. That's why there are off days. You think about, you wouldn't like me taking a load management day, would you, boss?
I hadn't crossed my mind before, but no.
I pay
employees
salary.
To
you
do
pay
a
me big
job,
time.
Not to just rest.
What if I called in and I'd say, me be chilling? It's my load management day.
Chilling? Jose, help me out here. What's going on?
No, she's never called in for load management or to rest, to prepare for the playoffs. But she does sometimes sit on the opposite side of the studio.
Oh, yeah. That's a little awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
You know.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
Well, if I run out of Blue Emu and have to use something else, I don't want y'all to smell me.
Ah, that's it. Sit at the other end of the table. All right. Well,
I love that he brought the fans into it.
Sure.
The fans pay to. Some fans travel to go see the star. And if they're taking a, you know, load management day, injury's one thing. I'm never going to question an injury. That's not right. But to have a rest day, you've got them.
It's just a tough thing.
You make too much money to do that.
The season goes too long, and it is wise to rest players.
And if the Lakers come to town, you're not going to get a discount if LeBron rests.
Amen. No. That's exactly right, Jose.
It's
so true. And then you think about these teams like the Warriors, who, you know, who have been to the finals 4 consecutive years.
Yep.
You add up the games they've played in the postseason, and they have an extra season on their legs.
Yeah.
So,
and that's true of LeBron James himself.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, let's stick with the NBA. We get to hear from Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni, who is happy that his team is playing well, but he says there's always room for improvement.
We can improve. We can get better. I think it's who we are. I think we're good, and I think we're going to be good. But we can get. We have, like, the first quarter, I thought there were some things that we could have done better, and then we did. You know, and we've had a habit of having great quarters and then so-so quarters. We just got to be able to sustain 4 great quarters.
Did I just not say that?
I heard you last segment. You said those words. Is he starting the quote, the gloss? Is that what's happening here, Jose?
Well, that's interesting because this happened after the game. But Carlos, I don't know. There's some sort of space-time continuum I'm not aware of.
Now, there's a mind meld happening. Well, you were at 2 games this week.
I was. And I saw that. I was there last night against Minnesota. In the first quarter, a lot of turnovers, sloppy play. It was very, you know, but my thought is always the Rockets usually have a pretty bad quarter. I'd rather it be the first because then you have 3 quarters to recover.
Sure.
But they actually, you know, they ended up recovering well. And honestly, Mike D'Antoni, good for him to say, I love the truth serum coming out of the NBA here, but that, hey, we are good, but we need to be more consistent is basically what he's saying. Let's try and string together 4 nice quarters.
Sure.
So, and he's right. That's how you win championships.
All right. In the annals of sports history, there's Ali Frazier. There's the Miracle on Ice. There's the Game of the Century. Remember the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Elvin Hayes?
The Heidi game.
The Heidi game. The Hail Mary game. The catch. All these big things in the annals of NFL and other sports history. Look, the Clippers had a huge win of historic proportion, apparently, over the Nets yesterday. And after the game.
Over the who?
Well, the Nets, the Clippers over the Nets.
Check in, make sure I got that
just
right.
Another regular season NBA game, but Lou Williams with a game-winning shot.
I love Lou. Love me some Lou.
And a media member had a bizarre comparison that he tossed out to Clippers head coach Doc Rivers when talking about the Clippers win.
Some of us are old enough to remember, including you. Would you allude this to maybe an Allie Frazier type of...
No, I don't know if it's that. Come on. Come on. Are you kidding me? My gosh. That is the single best sporting event ever. And I'm not going to put the Nets and the Clippers in that class. Not just yet, but if it was game seven in the finals, maybe.
Well, they've got a ways to go. Both the Clippers and the Nets. Clippers showing pretty well these days, but still. That was a good one. And Doc Rivers let him have it.
I love that. And more truth serum. I mean, he's like, what? You comparing us to Ollie Frazier? Love that.
All right, let's talk about the Houston Cougars. They made great strides with the arrival of Kelvin Sampson. And the coach spoke about what it meant to be seeded number three in yesterday's bracket.
Yeah, tremendous accomplishment. Proud of our whole team, everybody. But, you know, from 13 to 19 to a three seed's a great story. It really is. Our goal was to build a great program and have something that has sustainability, and I think that's what we're doing.
He said it beautifully. He took over this program. His first year, he had a 13 and 19 team. Now the fourth year, 31 and 3, a number three seed. And you look at the AAC. You know, it's not a Power Five conference. It's a Group of Five conference. But they have got four teams in the tournament this year in Cincinnati, UCF, and Temple. It's impressive what U of H has done. And I love talking to Pat Kennedy tonight and him saying he sees U of H as a Final Four team.
Yeah, impressive. They're on a run.
And credit Kelvin Sampson. He's a basketball whisperer.
Let's move to the NFL, to New York Times.
Your favorite
general manager, Dave Gettleman. And Gettleman has said it was not hard for him to stay committed to Eli Manning as his quarterback. Let's hear what Gettleman had to say about Eli Manning.
This narrative that Eli's overpaid and can't play is a crock. So at the end of the day, you guys got to say Gettleman's out of his mind, or he knows what he's talking about when he evaluates players. If you disagree with me, that's fine. But what I'm telling you is, if you turn around and you take a look at what he's making right now, and look around the league and see what quarterbacks are making, if you were in my shoes, you'd say, you know what, there really is not. The way he finished the season and what he's making, there really wasn't a decision to make.
Remember, this is the same guy who said, I did not sign OBJ just to trade him. And then, of course, he turned around and traded him not far after that.
So does GM stand for general manager or goofy manager?
I'll go goofy in this case.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I think Dave Gettleman just wakes up every day and goes, what shall I do today? Let me praise. And you know, Eli Manning has had a great career.
Yep.
I mean.
Love Jason Cole, who said it just looks like the Giants are making up a plan as they go along.
Right. Oh, boy.
All right, that's the He Said, She Said segment. When we come back, we will wrap up the show with a look at what we've learned from Carla Dawson, the Gloss.
Please,
when we return,
it's over.
On SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, my favorite segment. We get to conclude here with what we've learned from the Gloss. Let me run down a few of the things I got from you this last couple of hours.
That's some Beyonce girl power to lead this segment. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Take note of the music. Jose's got it going for you today.
He always takes care of us. Jose, you're the best.
I have to pander sometimes.
All right. Let me run down my list here. You think the selection committee did a good job yesterday?
Yes, A+.
You think and love the idea that the Cougars might just make it to the Final Four, as we learned from Pat Kennedy today?
Ooh, dream come true.
You're a believer.
I'm a believer.
Okay. You think the optics of LeBron sitting at the end of the bench are not good for the NBA? You agreed with Clyde Frazier.
I agreed with Clyde Frazier. I agreed the same. I didn't like the optics of Rajon Rondo a few weeks ago, and I didn't like LeBron doing it last year in the finals.
Yeah.
I'm never going to like that optic, no matter who it is. It's a team game.
You think Kyler Murray, Heisman Trophy winner, presumed number one pick for the Cliff Kingsbury Cardinals, needs to run the 40-yard dash after all he showed on the tape?
I need to see it.
You want to know what he runs?
I want to see something besides him weighing, measuring, and throwing.
Okay.
Everyone else has to do it.
All right.
I'm a
no special
person.
Treatment for the Heisman Trophy winner from Oklahoma.
No, and he should be willing to. He's a star. Let's see it.
Okay. And lastly, we'll finish with the Texans. You like what they've done in the secondary, picking up Bradley Roby and the safety Tashawn Gibson. You like those additions for their secondary.
I do. Younger, faster, stronger, and more durable.
More durable. That's the key word, isn't it?
I mean, durability is availability. I like that.
All right, you've learned it all from the gloss, as I have learned as well. Coming up next will be the great Alex Gold. He is of the gold standard, fresh out of Kansas City, where he's going to try to figure out what's going on with the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill. Maybe Alex Gold can answer those questions next segment. It will be Alex Gold, the gold standard. Do not leave us. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss. Thanks to Jose behind the board, SB Nation Radio.